I forgot what day it was. Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
All right. I'm not scared, but I'm just saying that this is happening a lot with you lately. Even earlier this morning, you thought today was... Did you think it was Wednesday?
I thought it was Thursday.
Thursday, right. So now you're off by 2 days.
I know. Imagine how depressing that is. When you're off by 1 day, it still kind of sucks. But 2 days? I think this morning I thought it was Wednesday, and now I think it's Thursday.
Why do you think you're speeding through time so quickly?
Because I've had a lot to do. You know me. I don't like to do more than one thing in a week.
And you've done two big things already.
2 days in a row.
And we're already, it's only Tuesday. It's really Tuesday.
I know that now.
But,
Went to see Maria Bamford on Sunday night at the Den Theater. Awesome show.
And attended a Blackhawks game last night.
Yes.
You're like Sneed. You're wherever the action is.
I can't keep up with Sneed. I just can't.
No one can.
I can't do too many things in one week.
You know, there are people, though, who...
I don't get it.
You know, they're nonstop morning, noon, and night.
That was me in my 20s and maybe 30s.
But now...
I'm old.
40 years later, it's impossible to recapture roughly. I rounded up. It's
way up.
Maybe I did. All right. On the regular show, we were discussing drive-in movie theaters because one of the last surviving drive-in movie theaters is no longer surviving. It's the Cascade Theater in West Chicago. We don't have an exact address.
Yes, we do.
Oh, we do? Yeah.
We do, because people are saying that the Cascade Theater is on the south side of North Avenue at Prince Crossing Road. So people think, you mentioned, oh, there's still one in St. Charles. They think you're mixing that up. Like, the one you thought was in St. Charles is really this one, because West Chicago's there.
So that's the one
is the one that's closing.
Aww.
But all the McHenry fans are out there saying, come join us, because the one in McHenry is still open.
That's the one on North Avenue.
It will be open for the season.
All right. I hope so. I hate to see these things close. I say that I haven't been to a drive-in movie theater since I was in college.
And you won't go.
I probably won't, but I want to go to get the experience at least one more time, but I think it would be a hard sell to my wife. And like I said, my daughters have no way. They can't understand the idea of sitting in a car to watch a movie. It's so foreign to them. They wouldn't even entertain the idea.
I got to tell you something. First of all, the McHenry Outdoor Theater is Golden Age Cinemas LLC, and it's 1510 North Chapel Hill Road in McHenry.
Mm-hmm.
That will be opening for this season. When I did go to the one drive-in, it was, I don't remember what car we were in, but it was a bigger car. And certainly when you were children, station wagon, lots of room, all the new cars, it's like you're at the bridge, number one from Star Trek. Mm-hmm. It's all like completely ergonomic.
There's a lot of gadgetry in there.
And it's just kind of more confined and enclosed.
Right.
So I don't know. I know the seats go back and everything, but I can only imagine, and like I'm thinking of my grandfather's Invicta car, which you could fit 8 people in the bench seat in the back. It was so big that wasn't it more fun in a bigger car?
It was.
So I don't know that you'd enjoy it in your new car now.
It would be like if you were in the driver's seat or the passenger seat, you got a pretty easy view. But if you were sitting in the back, now I told you when I was a kid, my dad had a mattress made to the specifications of the top of our station wagon. So when we would get there, we would just slide that up on top, the mattress. And my brother and then we had one summer that my cousin David lived with us. We would just go up there and we would watch the movie up on top. And it was great just laying there watching movies in the summer night.
Didn't the top of the car kind of buckle a little? Wasn't there a little dent?
No, because we're all of average size. I mean,
right, no, I, you know, but we were... I was just watching some TV show and some skinny, scrawny little girl, I can't remember what it was crawling on the roof to get in the sunroof. Oh, it was on Modern Family. Claire is tiny.
Yeah.
And she was on the top of Dylan's van, and you could see where it, like, dented.
Oh, it buckled a little?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe the car, maybe they were built sturdier, and there was no sun. We didn't have a sunroof.
Yeah, maybe it was
sturdier.
There was,
like, there were the silver like luggage rack lines, so the mattress fit underneath that.
Your dad was really something special.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Does he make stuff for you now like that?
All the time. Sure. He's got a lab and he's always coming up with new ideas and stuff like that.
Come on, that's
pretty
sweet.
Look, it's a hat
sweet.
With a propeller. You can fly to work. Just hold your hat and you can fly to work. Thanks, Dad.
You got to think of that, though. He made that especially for you guys because there ain't no way he was getting up there.
No. No.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Now, here's a couple of quick drive-in memories that I had. Number one was when I was really little. Like I said, when we would go to the drive-in on a Sunday, it was a triple feature throughout the summer. So for the first movie, all four of us were awake. My brother would always nod off at some point during the second movie. My dad in the intermission, so it was always my mom and I by the time it got to the third movie. But whenever it was an R-rated movie, my parents would just tell us, we'd be in the back seat or up top, and my dad or my mom would say, put your heads down, meaning there was a scene that would have been too much for us to handle, you know, a second grader, third grader, or fourth grader. So in the back, we would say, okay, and they could see us, so the heads were down.
You really put your heads down?
Yeah, but once we got the mattress and we stayed on top, we would tell them we were putting our heads down. But in reality, we were taking in every second and trying our best to memorize whatever was going on so we could share those stories with our schoolmates. I still remember there was a scene from, did you ever see the movie Bluebeard with, who's in it? Joey Heatherton?
No, I never saw that.
And
she was hot.
Sybil Danning. I don't know if you remember Sybil Danning. But there's a couple of...
What's it called?
Bluebeard.
Was it an X-rated?
No, it was an R-rated movie about this guy Bluebeard who kept marrying women, attractive women. Sybil Danning was in it. I'm trying to remember who else.
I don't know who Sybil Danning is.
She was in like a lot of...
Sybil Shepherd?
No, Sybil Danning, not Sybil Shepherd. Attractive blonde woman. So Joey Heatherton, Verna Lisi, do you remember her? An Italian actress. So Bluebeard kept marrying women who were very attractive, and then they would die through some strange means. And it turns out that Bluebeard kept killing them off so he could get newer, younger women to marry him. You know? So there were a couple scenes in that that were, you know, keep in mind, I'm in fourth or fifth grade. They were, you know, really pervy. But I was up on top, and my parents would go, put your head down. And I go, it's down. I'm not looking. But I was watching intently. And then I would go to school, and I would tell my friends those scenes, and they were like, what? What happened next? And I go, and then she did this, and he, what? You know, they were like in awe that I was able to see this movie. Richard Burton played Bluebeard.
Well, here's what I know. Joey Heatherton was in it. Sybil Danning, and once I saw her, I knew who it was. She's an Australian actress.
Yeah,
and Raquel Lisi. Welch was in this. How could you not remember her?
I don't remember her being in that.
She was the nun.
Now I remember. Now I do remember. Yeah. Raquel Welch was a nun in that.
Wow, that's a stretch.
Yeah.
She was a great actress.
I don't know if she was a great actress.
She played
memorable.
A nun? Have you seen a nun that looked like Raquel Welch?
No. Nope.
And then Richard Burton played Kurt von Sepper.
Oh, he didn't play. Oh, that was his name, but they called him. He got the legend Bluebeard. He was called Bluebeard.
I've never even heard of this movie.
Oh, it was crazy. So I used to tell my friends about it. Like I would come back to school then on a you know, a couple of weeks later when school was back in session.
Yeah.
This was during the summer. And then like sometimes weeks or months later, my friends would come over and they would just go, hey, tell us about those scenes in Bluebeard again. And I'd have to relive them. They were like so steamy. That guys would, they'd for months, they'd be walking around going, I wish I had seen that. And they'd call me over. What happened in that scene in Bluebeard? That was like months later.
Is that when your nickname Lucky Left?
Yeah, that's how that
came how that about.
Came to be. I also remember during the intermissions, because when we were real little, we would, my brother and I, they'd put us in our pajamas.
Oh, that's
like we would
so
drive
sweet.
Off in our pajamas. But then we'd have to go to the concession stand to get Milk Duds or popcorn or something like that. And I thought it was cool. You know, I was like in second grade and I'm just walking around in my pajamas like Hugh Hefner in Playboy After Dark. I felt very cosmopolitan walking around in my pajamas having Milk Duds. I'd just be, hey, enjoying the movies? I'm just eating Milk Duds to the other people.
There was something that was cool that you could be in your pajamas outside somewhere else late at night.
Yeah. And other kids, you'd see other kids in their pajamas. You just give each other that nod like, yep, I'm in my pajamas. You're in your pajamas. Things are pretty good, right?
Here's the plot line for Bluebeard 1972, because there's also a movie called Bluebeard from 2017.
Oh, I didn't see the updated Bluebeard.
I don't know if it's the same.
It wouldn't be the same.
But this is a World War I pilot whom everybody envies as a lady killer.
Yep.
Actually is one.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
After he beds the women he's after.
He offs them.
Yes. Spoiler.
In weird ways. One
really?
Involving,
this sounds good.
One involving a chandelier.
Okay, your parents let you see this?
Well, they let me see most of it, but then like every 8 minutes, either my mom or dad would knock. They would knock on the top of the... They would knock and they go,
kids?
Heads down, boys. Heads down.
Was it just for the sexy scenes or the murder scenes?
No, they were fine with the murder scenes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely fine with the murder scenes. There could be scenes, people could get their heads cut off. They're like, did you enjoy the scene where the guy got his head? Yeah, I like that. That was fun.
That kills me.
But the sex scenes, they were a little more discerning. They're like, you know, you guys shouldn't be watching this with Richard Burton and Joey Heatherton. Sadly, the only pairing of those two in a movie. You'd think with chemistry like that that they would have made so many movies together. But no, only the one.
The 49er drive-in in Valpo, always packed an hour away. Love it there. Mm. So that's something to think about. We used to sneak in a couple in the trunk or walk in through the field. Lost shoe in the mud once. Fun memories.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun.
Had friend with a Ryder truck, had extra furniture and a cooler, would pull in backwards and open the door, eat and drink like we were in a living room. How cool is that?
Can I tell you what kind of food we usually had? And as I tell you this, I know that it's silly, but it's true. Oftentimes when we'd go to the drive-in, we would get Chinese food. We would pick up Chinese food on the way.
Do you have Chinese food for various occasions?
We eat a lot of Chinese food. My family eats a lot of Chinese food. But think about what's going on there in a car during a movie where it's not the optimal situation to have Chinese food, where, you know, you've got to take things out of containers and there's egg foo young with sauce that could get everywhere.
That is not a good
it's the worst,
food.
But we loved it so much that the idea of getting anything else but Chinese food, we're like, no, you got to have Chinese food before three movies. This is great.
It's
MSG
like
galore.
Did they put MSG in back then? I don't think MSG was invented till.
We'd get a side order of just MSG. My dad would say, can we just get a side, like a bucket of MSG?
All right, zip it.
So good.
Laura has called us at 312-235-2525. Laura, we're talking about drive-in memories. Do you have one?
Yeah, there used to be a drive-in in Wheeling called Twin Drive-In. And we were going to Hawthorne. We're in Arlington Heights area, passing it in the middle of winter, mind you. And on the screen, it said, close for the winter, see you next spring. And I said, oh, I can't wait to see that movie. And my friends were like, oh, who's in it?
Joey Heatherton and Richard Burton.
No kidding.
I think that's funny.
I was embarrassed to be their friend.
I think that is actually the drive-in that I went to. It was somewhere in Wheeling or Glenview. So,
yeah, Milwaukee Avenue.
That's the one I went to. That's the only drive-in I went to as an adult.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a bad place. There wasn't a bad place. Now it's just a restaurant, I think.
Well, thank you, Laura. Yeah.
Thanks, Laura.
Say hi to your friend.
I will. Bye.
I only remember a couple of dates at drive-ins. There was a drive-in in Naperville. I have no idea what the name was. And there was a girl that I dated for a while. And we saw Pee-wee's Big Adventure there.
That's a cool date movie. Did you do the old yawn and put your arm around her?
She did that to me. Very progressive,
really?
Wasn't she? Yes, she did. And I thought it was I thought that's supposed to be a guy move, but it's coming from you. I respect you even more for it.
I could see that wouldn't bother you.
No, it was fine with
it. Plus, it made your job easier.
So much easier. So much easier. All the pressure's off.
Speaking of which, 847, lost my virginity at the drive-in. I don't remember what movie it was. No kidding. How would you remember the movie? You were making your own movie.
Well, you would. I would make a mental note of what the movie, even if you didn't see much of it, it would still be nice for memory's sake to know what the movie was that was playing during, wouldn't it? Kind of.
Find her on Facebook and ask her, or find him on Facebook and ask him.
Would it reflect poorly on me if the movie was Pee-wee's Big Adventure? Would you have done the math on that and gone, hey, wait, I think this might be... No, it couldn't be the same person, could it?
I would expect that from you, quite honestly. Although, didn't Large Marge ruin it?
Yeah, Large Marge ruined it. Mostly because that was my mom's name. I mean, it was upsetting on its own, the Large Marge part of the movie, but it was my mom's name, so that would have been even worse.
Imagine a Dirty Harry film and Flesh Gordon. Yes, that's right. Flesh Gordon on the big screen at the drive-in.
Do you know about that movie? That was like an X-rated parody of Flash Gordon.
Really? Thanks yeah. for telling me.
Did you ever see any
no,
of
it? No, but I figured out what it was.
Flesh Gordon. God. There was a version of Pinocchio that was like that, where he had his name was like Pinocchio, but it was something else. And then the tagline was, "When he lies, it's not his nose that grows."
Was that at the drive-in?
I don't remember it being at the drive-in. I remember.
Well, we're not talking about porno films.
Oh, we're not. Sorry. I don't think it was even porn. It was just like one of those parody movies. Like Flesh Gordon was to Flash Gordon, as this movie was. I can't remember what the name of it was, though. We had it when I had the video store. It was a big renter. People loved it.
When he lies...
It's not his nose that grows.
I want to see if it comes up. Not safe for work.
Oh, it did. It did.
Shut up.
All right.
Well, you know, Buzz Killman had his
porn emporium.
And some were not real, Bill.
No, really? Sorry to hear that. Kim Gordon will know.
Pinocchio Paradox? Pinocchio's Lie?
No, it was some takeoff.
Pinocchio instead of Pinocchio.
Oh, was that what it was?
No, I just made that up.
Oh, that's pretty. That's excellent.
It's not really that good.
Pornocchio.
Okay.
Couldn't that be? That'd be the better name.
Yeah, we were talking about drive-ins, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-minute. And the McHenry Theater, I just meant it wasn't open yet for the season, but everyone's texting me, it is open, it will be open.
I hope
Go
so.
Go there.
Oh, I hope so. All right, Kim will stop by, she'll give you some news, and then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome. How long have you been doing this?
Me? This will be, it's almost 6 months now. All right, so the last person President Trump would want to take advice from is me, but if I were to offer him advice, I'd say, back off on John McCain. What
I know,
are you doing?
He's on a really tear on a roll. Well, did you see the tweet that Meghan McCain, did you
yes.
talk about that in your news?
Just now?
Yeah.
No.
She just said no one will
shot.
Ever love you as
the
much
way
as
that
they,
my father
yeah.
was loved.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, worry about your own family, not mine. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
But.
And I heard something, too. Didn't she say, well, you know, on The View,
yeah.
instead of, like, spending time with your family on the weekends or doing something, you're sitting in a room by yourself basically
texting,
tweeting.
Yeah. 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 He seems to be one of those guys. John McCain was so infinitely popular for so many different reasons. But going back to... He likes heroes that haven't been captured and stuff like that. That you know that was
yeah.
Ridiculous.
You're no hero if you've been you
captured.
Know captured.
And he's taken other shots at him before he died, and then after he died, like this latest one.
Yeah.
I don't
and even if he
that.
Doesn't agree with him, or even if he dislikes him,
right?
He is so beloved
sure.
that it's just
well, just be presidential.
Oh, well, that's not.
I mean,
that, what does that even mean anymore?
How do you think
Kim?
The president of Brazil felt sitting next to him when he was saying these things?
Right. Dirty. You feel like, ugh,
I need to distance myself a little bit from this.
The president seems to have problems with people who have that sort of popularity. And I think it's because he recognizes truly that he can't achieve that. You know, he was like that with Barack Obama.
Right.
But in his own mind, I think he thinks he's bigger than them. I really do.
Probably. Yeah. I could see that.
I really believe that he thinks that. Like, you know, everybody
well,
says
I think that's why he can't stand it. Because he
can't achieve it.
He wants to be and he can't.
Right. Right. I told Wendy this when Barack Obama was a guest on this show that David Letterman has where he's just
oh,
got,
I saw it.
All right. So Barack Obama comes out and he's just got this
swagger.
Attitude.
Yeah, it was great.
It is a swagger. And I'm thinking that's what Trump can't stand is the fact that he can be so self-confident but can back up the self-confidence.
Right.
But, like, Trump has self-confidence, but he can't back it up. There's nothing there.
And Barack Obama did not walk out that way while he was president. This is a, and isn't it our next guest needs no introduction? Is that
That's the name of the show? Yes. Right.
It's worth watching. I love Barack Obama. Sorry I said it, all you people. Thanks, Obama.
I'm in the process of reading Michelle Obama's book right now. I'm about not quite halfway through.
Yeah.
And it's just, she's just now meeting Barack, and they're kind of, they've
going
just
steady.
Had ice cream. Remember, that's how, that was their first date. Yeah. They've just had ice cream. But it's just, it's interesting because the way she talks about him and the things she was nervous about. And now, you know, like when you read it and you look back on it, they never in a million years would have thought where they ended up.
But he doesn't, he didn't have that swagger when he was president. He had class.
But there was a self-assuredness to him.
But this was just kind of like, I'm James Bond, you know?
But even like, because if you'll remember, like on that episode, they show him backstage before David Letterman calls him out. And everyone's happy to see him, and he's happy to see everybody. And
but I think
Trump
he always had
that,
it, because that's what I was going to say.
Oh,
in the
doubt.
In the book, you know, she says, because they worked at the same law firm for a while, like, even though he was this the summer clerk, he knew every single secretary's name. He wouldn't go up and talk to people about their kids. And, you know, if you've got it, you got it.
Yeah. There's something to that. But you can just see with Trump, when somebody like that is around, Trump doesn't know how to handle it. Remember, I'll use John McCain as a perfect example, since he just badmouthed them. During that one situation where a woman had said something bad about Barack Obama and John McCain was running against him.
Oh, right.
And he called her out on it.
Yes. It was about the birth certificate,
right? Was it the birth certificate or just that he was a Muslim? She alluded to that?
Oh, yeah, maybe so.
She alluded very negatively to that, and John McCain corrected her and stuff like that. I can't in a million years see Donald Trump doing that about anybody. If somebody says something, I can't see Donald Trump coming to their defense that
Ivanka way. Is the only person that pops into mind.
Maybe.
Only.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So,
maybe not his other two sons. His other three sons or his other children.
Right.
But Ivanka, I think
there's
he might.
A special place.
I think he has tweeted in her defense a couple times.
But the way that situation played out, where you had two adversaries running against each other, like if somebody said that about one of Donald Trump's adversaries and he recognized that it was incorrect, he wouldn't correct. He wouldn't come to their defense.
He's a bully.
He would do it, like you said, to somebody who means something special to them. Hey, don't say anything bad about my daughter.
Right.
But not somebody that he's opposed to. He wouldn't know how to do that.
Right. I mean, look what he did to Michael Cohen, who had his back for all those years.
Right.
I don't know if I trust Michael Cohen either. I mean, it's just a whole weird web.
The whole thing.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's definitely a weird web.
Yeah.
There's one main spider in the middle.
Thank you, Obama, for leaving. That's what I'm going to say.
Are you still blaming Obama?
Yes.
One of my friends said, because that was a joke during Barack Obama's final year or
two.
Everybody. If something would go wrong, if your vacuum cleaner stopped working, you go, great, thanks Obama. Right? One of my best friends said that he still has family members who say that, but not as a joke.
Oh,
they'll just
funny.
Pull that out for any reason. Oh, that Barack Obama. Wait, your car's out of gas? You're blaming it on him?
So Monica Lewinsky was on did a thing with John Oliver.
Did you see it?
No. Did you?
I watched it.
I saw a clip of it. I didn't see the whole thing.
All right, I got to see that.
You need to see it because even though she wasn't really at fault, really, I mean, she was a player in it all.
Well, she agreed to what was going on.
Yeah.
I know there's a power.
Older, powerful guy.
Right.
Kind of.
But she had her sights set on that. Look at groupies. I mean, come on. These rock and rollers have power. There are young girls that hang out backstage. That's their mission. It seemed like that was her mission at the time.
She was 20-something. Now looking back on it, I think, you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Right.
I think she has grown from it.
Oh, definitely.
I think changed her ways. I think, you know, obviously, if she could do it all over again, she probably would not have done the same thing.
Right.
But she did it, and it was willing. It wasn't like...
And I think, Bill, I mean, in the clip I saw, it seems like she owned up to the fact that, you
Very
know,
much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. But she talks about what her life was like during and after.
The avalanche of pain and humiliation that she experienced because of the affair with then President Bill Clinton. That's what she's talking about.
Her name became a euphemism.
Yeah. Oh, it was in every comics joke.
Everything.
I mean,
it was in every comics joke. It's in over, I'm not exaggerating this because they list them, it's in over 100 rap songs. In
really?
Rap songs, they constantly, wow. You know, he went in for a Lewinsky. You know, it's just, it's part of the vernacular. It's a
right.
term. You know, her name became a term for sex, you know?
Although, you know, one thing, the one clip I saw that I thought was really interesting where they asked her when she was applying for jobs if she wanted to change her name.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't get a job, but she didn't do it.
She didn't do it, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what, and I haven't seen it, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the take I'm getting on the stories about it was her big thing was, you know, it might have been different had he said, yeah, all right, but he's like, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. She's bothered it was that woman.
And the way he was worded.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know.
To him, it was, you know, just maybe one of many. To her, it was more than that.
Right. Yeah, but he was, and I also don't understand that he was impeached, but in my brain, I always thought if you were impeached, you were removed from office, but he wasn't.
Correct.
Right.
That
yeah.
still confuses me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you would think that once he was impeached, his presidency would end, but it did not end.
Because they even say, you know, our not our only impeached president, but,
no,
you
there
know.
There was one other,
yes.
right?
But they say impeached president in my head. What does that mean when he didn't leave
Is it
office?
Like a slap on the wrist?
But that bodes he was poorly for what could happen with Trump. If Donald Trump is impeached, he could easily pull that out and say, well, you've had other presidents recently that were impeached and remained
right.
in office.
Well, and then Nixon resigned.
Right.
Right. So,
yeah.
right.
But we need to find out that because here all I have with information is on December 19th, 1998, the House voted to impeach Clinton for lying under oath to a federal grand jury and obstructing justice. On February 12th, a year later, 1999, the Senate acquitted Clinton, who would go on to finish his term.
Yeah.
But I still don't... Why? How was he impeached? And yet, because that's a different impeachment. Like, was it... Like, you know, you have legal and civil suits. Is it something like that?
I don't know the answer for
Not
sure.
Either.
I would just be guessing.
Must not have been listening in civics that day.
Monica Lewinsky talking about her situation with John Oliver. And I don't know, you guys don't watch the show regularly,
no.
do you? He rarely has an interview, like a pre-tape interview as part of that show. It's only happened once or twice that I've seen in the past. It might be a little more often, but not much more often. But this is a really long, in-depth interview with Monica Lewinsky, and it's really good. And there's a couple of times where they kind of make light of it. Like she tells a story about she went to a Halloween party where it was, she got invited, one of her best friends had a Halloween party, and it was a themed party where everybody had to dress from somebody from the 90s. So she goes, oh, what the heck? So she dressed like herself. She went as herself
the
in the
dress.
90s with the dress and with the
beret.
The hat that she wore back then. And people loved it, you know?
That's so funny.
So I give her credit for being able to take a horribly negative situation and turn it into a positive. And she does. She goes around and she speaks and she talks about bullying and what happened because of the situation with Bill Clinton. She also said it would have been far, far worse if the internet had existed, if social media existed.
Yeah. Yes.
So much worse.
I can't even imagine. I mean, when the internet started, there were still jokes going around about her how many years later. She wouldn't have survived.
Jay Leno was doing a joke, at least one joke every night for I don't know how long. That's why he's been taken out by John Oliver, because Jay Leno is very critical of what's going on politically right now with comedy. And he goes, you know, we need to go back to a simpler time when we weren't being so rough on each other. And then John Oliver played a long litany of him doing horrible Monica Lewinsky jokes. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we go back to impeachment for one second?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so it says the Constitution defines impeachment at the federal level, limits impeachment to the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the U.S. who may be impeached and removed removed only for treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors.
So an extramarital affair, because I found some information,
right,
too.
Would not constitute
a high crime
or misdemeanor.
Most people felt this was a personal scandal and a private matter, not a political one. And there were two articles of impeachment that were brought forward. But I thought that they were acquitted. So was he technically impeached?
Oh. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, and an impeachable offense is whatever a majority of the House of Representatives considers it to be at a given moment in history. So that could
Colleen is on the line. Hi, Colleen.
why the difference is this. Impeachment is like being charged with the crime by the police.
Yeah.
The House of Representatives does that. But then you have to have a trial. So that part is done by the Senate. And you can be convicted or you can be acquitted, just like from a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. So you've still been arrested. When you've been arrested, you've been arrested. Nothing changes that. When you've been impeached, you've been impeached. Nothing changes that. But the outcome isn't the same, whether you're guilty or innocent.
But I don't remember with Bill Clinton there being a tremendous outrage after he was impeached and didn't leave office. I don't remember that taking place, did it?
There wasn't, because the Senate found him not guilty of the charges.
And impeachment, as Colleen is saying, just another way of wording it, is the process by which a legislative body levels charges against a government official. It does not necessarily mean removal from office. It's only a statement of charges. As you said, it's like you say he was arrested, you would say he was impeached.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I completely understand that.
Yeah.
Colleen, thank you.
Thank you so
Colleen,
much for clearing
you're welcome.
Do you know who the other president was? There was another president that was impeached.
Andrew Johnson. The guy after Lincoln.
So in both presidential impeachments, there was a Johnson involved.
Oh, my God.
There was.
You're watching too much Pornocchio.
Colleen, thank you, Colleen.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you. Although a listener has texted in Pinocchio.
Oh. That's pretty good, too. That's not bad.
Because technically in Italian,
that's
it would be Pinocchio.
That's the name of the missing Trump tape.
Well, that explains it. So you were impeached, like you were arrested, but acquitted of the charges.
But didn't you go into that thinking once a president is impeached, they show him the door?
Well, because I think especially for our age, we think of Nixon.
Right. But he wasn't impeached. He resigned before he would have been.
Right. The plan was to impeach him, and he resigned prior to that.
Right.
To make himself somehow look better, I guess.
Should we ask Colleen if she was like a history teacher or how she knew that.
She knew her stuff.
She knew her stuff. I bet she is.
Remember when...
My dad's a history teacher. What does that say about me?
Oh, wow. Remember when Richard Nixon died... Everything that was said about him was almost glowing, was so nice and friendly.
Because it's his funeral. People do that with family members, too.
It's so strange, though, because he was, for the country, he was the number one villain when all this took place. And I went,
history will not remember
this man kindly. And then when he did die, it was nice thing.
You don't want to see what happens with President Trump.
Do you think it will? When he dies, you think it'll be all good?
You don't want to kick a man when he's down. I'm sorry. These people who take out these obituary ads, you know, like, this woman was the meanest one in all the land. That's terrible.
Yeah. Are you just saying that's why we write your obituary? Is that what you're saying?
Listen, if you're in charge of writing my obituary, I will never die.
I've already got it written.
But you've just made me invincible. I will never die if you are the one in charge of it.
Just to spite me. Oh, I spent all that time on her obituary.
But really, I mean, you know, and I, you know, people have struggles with their parents and stuff. But, you know, when someone you love dies, you're sad and you should give them respect because they're no longer with us. Then, as years go on, you start to remember, you know, boy, I really put this person on a pedestal. They weren't that great.
Yeah.
But it does take, there is some healing involved.
Right. Right.
But, and you mean like other people other than his family of Nixon was saying how great he was?
All the, you know, when somebody dies, especially if you're a president, you get pages and pages. But if you're just a regular celebrity, you get an article. But you had to dig really deep to get to the negative stuff. It's like, where's all the Watergate mentions? Where's all that? Oh, there it is on page 6. It's all the way deep, you know? So, the rules of writing a story where you lead with the big thing and then go down.
Yeah.
It changes with an obituary, especially somebody that you'd perceive to be negative, like Richard Nixon.
But I wonder now, with social media and just the climate, if things like that are different.
Oh, I'm positive of it. Yeah, they'd have to be.
People aren't as nice as they once were.
Yeah. Well, and they'll share a link of the obituary, and then they'll make their crude comments underneath it, because that's how everybody rolls.
Right. Maybe.
And you're right. Presidents that were impeached, only two U.S. presidents have been impeached by the House of Representatives. The first was Andrew Johnson in 1868 for dismissing Edwin M. Stanton as the Secretary of War. The second was Bill Clinton in 1998 for charges of lying under oath in regards to sexual relations with a White House intern. Both presidents were acquitted in trials that were held by the Senate. So the House of Representatives are the one that can get the impeachment or arrest going, and then they're tried in the Senate, and they need a two-thirds majority vote to convict them. Neither were.
Ah.
So Andrew Johnson stayed in office, too.
He did.
Well, that's what it's...
Well, you know, and it probably is a party thing, too, because even if right now, if Congress would impeach Trump...
Yeah.
I'm sure the Republican-controlled
Senate
is
not... They keep him in place.
But I would think so.
I don't... But
unless
now,
there's
this
something
is,
comes out in the Mueller report.
Treason or, you know,
right,
legal
crimes
reasons.
Crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors.
Right. Both presidents remained in the office and served the remainder of their terms.
Unless there's something, that's just... outlandish.
Yeah.
President Richard M. Nixon also faced impeachment after the Watergate scandal in 74, but as it was near certain that he would be removed from office because that involved legalities, mm-hmm. He decided to resign before the impeachment process could be completed.
Ah, interesting.
That is interesting.
I didn't know
and
any
And people
of that.
Still love Bill Clinton.
I just heard him speak.
Yes,
they
do. Yes.
I don't do a good Clinton. I don't even know who that is. But whatever, I try. See, I'm not afraid to look like
right.
a jerk.
Can you do Owen Wilson doing Bill Clinton?
I don't know what you're talking about. You like my Owen Wilson,
I do
don't
enjoy,
you?
I do enjoy the Owen Wilson impression, yes.
Thank
selfish.
You.
Selfish. It's very selfish, but I do enjoy it very much. I do enjoy it.
All right, we got to break.
We must break.
Thank you, Kim.
Kim, thank you so much for hanging out. We'll come back and we'll close things off next. It's Bill Leffin. It's Owen
and
Wilson.
And it's me,
it's Owen Wilson.
Wilson.
On WGN. Wow.
All right, I will not impeach you ever unless you write
impeached.
My obituary. And I know your first line will be, ladies and gentlemen, she put the bitch in obituary.
I wouldn't. Oh, that's good.
It is pretty good, isn't it?
I just wrote a headline for when, if Donald Trump gets impeached, you get a picture of James Comey and a picture of Trump, and you put James and the Giant impeach.
Oh, I like that.
That's pretty good, right?
Who are you sending that to?
New York Times, Boston Globe, both Chicago papers.
Washington Post.
Post for sure.
Newsweek. Time. The Inquirer.
I think it's better on a newspaper than it is on a magazine.
Don't
you?
Know.
You like
it could
the magazine
be a cover.
Angle? It could be. It could be.
It's pretty good, Bill.
A very quick goodbye to a friend of ours, Stephanie Titchener, who was both a coworker and a friend, and she's leaving to go to a less popular radio station.
You can't resist, can
yeah,
you?
Yeah, whatever. So much fun working with her. She started out as our producer. She worked her way up to assistant programmer here at WGN. Very, very talented person, and she will be greatly missed by me. I can't speak for you, Wendy.
I will miss her genuinely. She was not just a coworker. She was a friend and someone I could talk to about you.
Yeah.
Most, which was really good.
People are few and far between. Because most people here go, I don't know who that is. Bill, I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, and you had worked here many years before we got hooked up again. And as you mentioned, Stephanie Titchener was our producer at the time. So I've always had a fondness in my heart for her.
Yeah.
So we wish her the best at this lesser successful station.
She did weird things with Barbie dolls that I will never understand.
Yeah. And she liked water.
Yeah, instead of water, she went with warder, which is odd. I don't understand. Maybe it's good she leaves. Maybe it's for the best.
Good luck, Stephanie.
Yeah,
we love
miss
you.
We'll tremendously.
Miss
you. All right, that's it. Tune in again tomorrow for another exciting adventure. Bye, Wendy.
See ya, Pornocchio.